Oh boy, we're going to have so much fun. Because it's time for my favorite part of the semester, and that's investing. We're going to spend the next four weeks describing, discussing, investigating the different types of investments and how to invest. So strap in and get ready and realize that what we're going to have to say might be not what you expect. Because we're going to find that if we're doing it right for the vast majority of us, investing is pretty boring. Yeah. And this guy figured it out a long, long, long time ago. Confucius. If a little money does not go out, great money will not come in. That's it. We're going to start small. We're going to start, assuming we're young and consistent and don't panic, and the world doesn't end, you should do okay. Slide number two. We start with the answer. And the what? The answer is a voluntary tax on stupid people. What is the question? Well, the question is, what is the lottery? It's a voluntary tax on stupid people. But it's so sad that many people believe this is the only way they're going to get rich, is to go on some dumb game show or win the lottery. No, no, no. What are the odds of winning, folks? The odds of winning the California Mega Millions jackpot are 176 million to one. But somebody has to win, right? Yeah, but that somebody ain't going to be you. Let's see. A person purchases 50 lottery tickets every week. He or she will win the Mega Millions jackpot about once every 50,000 years. So what's that? $50 per week at 10% for 50,000 years. Speaking of odds, astronomers have located an asteroid that is possibly on a collision course with Earth. The asteroid could hit the Earth in 2029, triggering untold destruction and the end of tens of thousands of species, including the human race. The odds of the asteroid hitting the Earth are currently set at 300 to 1, but those odds will probably lessen as more is learned about the asteroid's orbit. So why aren't the nations preparing for this catastrophe? Because it ain't going to happen, and you ain't going to win the lottery. So start saving now. Of course, if the asteroid does hit, we'll have plenty of warning for you to go out and spend all your savings on a really great time. Okay, let's get serious. Oh, by the way, subsequent calculations show that this asteroid won't hit the Earth for at least 100 years. So some of you folks in your 20s, you may be around for 100 years from now, given what's going on in the medical profession, but I certainly don't have to worry about it. Let's get serious. Establishing our investment goals. Well, you already know the number one financial goal, right? Spend less than you earn, live beneath your means, make love, not loans, pay yourself first. The most effective mantra to learn. And also, we can add to that frugal, frugal, frugal. And if goal number one is followed, if you live beneath your means, if you don't live beyond your means, if you spend less than you earn, if you make love, not loans, if you pay yourself first, everything else is actually pretty straightforward. For every investment goal, you assess the time frame. Very important. We talked about short term, intermediate term, long term. Remember goals. Choose an appropriate investment for the time frame, and we're going to give you a thumbnail view of each type in this chapter. And then we'll emphasize each in subsequent chapters. We'll look at some of the others in detail later on. So, come on, go to the next slide. Sometimes I have trouble with this thing. Okay, what are some of the essentials? Well, you know, they are important, but I don't consider them essential before investing. I mean, these are important things to do. Balance your budget. Pay off that high interest credit card debt. Well, that's why we created the goals and the cash flow statement. Start an emergency fund that you can quickly access. Now, here's a concept, the emergency fund, that you're always going to hear from the talking heads on the Infernal Net and the television. You need to have an emergency fund. Look, I don't necessarily agree. It depends on you. It depends on your situation. If you're a salesperson in a seasonal thing, or say, think about people who are real estate agents or mortgage brokers, and when interest rates rise, house buying slows down, and so they need a big emergency fund. But personally, I don't agree with the concept of an emergency fund of 3 to 6 to 9 months, almost a year of living expenses. As long as you have access to cash via home equity line of credit, or for example, in case of emergency, you need to fix the furnace or whatever, there's no good reason to keep $20,000, $30,000, $50,000, $80,000 or more in a savings account earning 0.01%. Now, thankfully, savings accounts are starting to pay more, but I would use the money to pay down the high interest debt, especially credit card debt, because you can always run it back up again in case of an emergency. And the wealthy barber agrees with me. You are adequately insured, right? You are adequately insured. That's important. But as we said, some people, self-employed, they have their own business. Oh, yeah, they need an emergency fund. And as you get older, people want to have more liquid assets, as they call them. And we'll discuss that in just a moment. In fact, we'll discuss it right on this slide, number 9. Some investment terms that are going to be on the exam, so make sure you study them. What's safety? Guarantee of return of principal. And I like Will Rogers, who was a humorist 100 years ago. I'm not so much concerned with the return on my money as I am with the return of my money. But when you go for a safe guarantee of return or principal, what do you give up? Right, you give up a decent return over the long term. So we're going to see for short-term investments, this is very important. But for longer-term investments, no, it's not as important. Because every investment, doesn't matter what kind of investment it is, even if they guarantee a return of principal, there are always risks. And risk, we think of risk as something bad that can happen. And it's true, you know, that's what we talked about when we were talking about insurance. But in the investment world, we often use the word uncertainty when we talk about risk. Uncertainty, not necessarily something bad, but just something that we are uncertain of. Because some even guaranteed investments, as we've said, have risks. For example, inflation risk. You might be putting your money at the bank in the bank at 0.1%, or maybe they're up to 1% or so. But if inflation's running at 2-3%, yeah, you're losing money. The money's not going down. You're not losing principal, but you're losing purchasing power. And interest rate risk, that has to do with bonds, which we'll discuss later on. Business failure and market risk, that has to do with stocks and real estate to some extent. And then what are the risks of investing globally? Well, we'll discuss these not in much detail in the Business 123 Introduction to Investments class. Oh yeah, we will discuss these in serious detail. Now, one thing we have to ask ourselves, are we investors? Are we investing? Or are we speculating? Are we trading? And those two words basically mean the same thing, and they're euphemisms in the investment world for gambling. So when you came to this presentation, did you think, oh my goodness, I'm going to buy 5 computers and 7 screens and 4 telephones and be buying and selling all day? Wrong, wrong, wrong. Those people are traders. Those people are speculators. And it's a very, very difficult job, folks. It's very stressful. These people eat Tums for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. You do not want to be a speculator trader. You do want to be an investor. And we're going to see that if we invest prudently, consistently, with an eye toward long-term growth of income and capital, it doesn't have to be very, very stressful. There are going to be times when you're going to want to say, no more, no mas, but we'll discuss those as we continue. Now, the next term is liquidity. What is liquidity? Well, that's the ability to buy or sell your investment quickly without substantially affecting the investment's value. And virtually all the investments we're going to talk about, except for a few of the alternatives like real estate, are very liquid. Somebody wants to buy your stocks, your bonds, your mutual funds. What is your tolerance for risk? Well, here is just one of many instruments to gauge your tolerance for risk. And it's not that bad, but it's not that good either. Why? Because you can't really know your tolerance for risk until you have some skin in the game and then lose some skin. You can't really know how you're going to react when your $1,000 becomes $600 or your $10,000 becomes $7,000 or your $100,000 becomes $65,000. Because if you invest in certain types of investments, which we'll describe soon, you know, soon enough, it's going to happen. There are going to be times when you're going to lose 20, 30%, maybe 50%, depending on which investments you choose. And that's when you actually make your money, when you don't panic. Yes, because it's when people panic that we tend to lose the most money. So we're going to show you in our next presentation types of investments that have been around for hundreds of years and have done pretty darn well. But there's always that issue of emotions taking control. And when you want to be a speculator or a trader, it's all about emotions. It is so incredibly difficult. So we don't even try to teach you that because I can't do it. How am I supposed to teach anybody else? Yeah. So let's continue. Where do I get the money to invest? Well, remember, pay yourself first? Right. Take advantage of employer-sponsored retirement plans. These are commonly referred to as 401ks, 403bs, the Roth IRA, the traditional IRA. We'll discuss those in detail in our very last chapter. Do use a Roth IRA and do automatic contributions from your checking account or your savings account. And what, you know, some people might say not so lucky, but when I took this job, I was used to being paid once a week. We would get a paycheck every week. This job at Southwestern, you get paid once a month. And you very quickly learn how to budget. Or else you're just, you know, hating life at the end of the month. And so what I would do is we have a 403B, have money come out of my paycheck, and then have money automatically put into the Roth IRA on the second of the next month. So at the last day of the month, you'd see the money, it's all electronic now, see the money go into your checking account, and then on the second, boom, it disappears and goes into your Roth IRA. Now, a lot of people don't get paid once a month. But the idea here, folks, is if you pay yourself first, automatically, out of your paycheck, out of your checking account, then it works like a pay raise, only in reverse. If you remember way back in chapter one, that's what we said. Pay yourself first. So that before you pay the rent, before you pay the orthodontia, before you pay the car payment, before you pay the utilities, and six bucks, Starbucks, and Target, that fabulously exclusive French department store, you pay yourself first. And then you just get used to the lower amount. It works like a pay raise in reverse. You get used to that money coming out of your paycheck or your checking account or both automatically. How much do I need? Folks, if you're young, this is when time, remember the formula for future value, time was the exponent. If you're young, start small. $50 a month. People say, I don't have any money. I say, can you afford $50 a month? Well, what's your cell phone payment? Oh, yeah. Right. So remember, T-Mobile, AT&T, Verizon, they've all taken Business 121 Principles of Money Management and Introduction to Investments and a whole lot more courses. And they are doing their best to separate you from your money so that this becomes their stream of investments. You've got to create your own stream. And the cool part about this, especially if you're young, is small amounts invested regularly become large amounts over time. If a little money does not go out, great money cannot come in. Now, obviously, the more the better, but it is better to get started with a small amount now than to lazily dream of a day when you'll be able to put far more away. Get started now. And hey, you can always increase the amount. What we are going to show you is what happens if, hey, we start with $50 or $100, and then next year let's do $55 or $110. Let's just bump it up one trip to $5, two fewer trips to $6. I'm sorry, Starbucks. And especially when you get a pay raise. You get a pay raise, hey, raise your contributions to your investment accounts. Cool? Cool. And then the last slide before we take a quick break is trying to describe the difference between a regular taxable account and a tax qualified account. Now, I know this is a little busy, my apologies, but what people will say is, they'll say, well, you're saying we should open up a Roth IRA, Payano. How much can you earn in a Roth IRA? Well, that's the wrong question. How much can your investment inside the Roth IRA earn or inside the 401k? Because when you open up an account, by default, if you don't ask for anything else, the bank, the brokerage firm, the mutual fund company, they're going to open up a taxable account, sometimes called a regular account or sometimes called a non-retirement account. What the IRS calls it, but nobody else does, is a non-qualified account. That's what the IRS calls it, a non-qualified account. And notice, this is supposed to, I'm not very artistic, folks, my apologies, but this is supposed to look like a bucket, a bin, a bolsa. And these guys are the investments that we can put into the bucket. With a regular taxable account, a non-qualified account, a non-retirement account, you can put any type of investment. Real estate, stocks, bonds, mutual funds, and then these more exotic things that we've crossed out. Options, hard assets, margining, short buying on margin, shorting, futures. Stay away from them. We'll discuss them very briefly in a few chapters from now just to keep you away from those things because they're deadly. And you'll notice that they're all post-tax dollars, which means we've already paid taxes on the amount that we put in there. And we earned the money, we paid the taxes, and we put it in our regular account. There's no limit on the contributions. There's no limit on the investment types. And every year, if you earn interest or dividends or rent or whatever you earn, or maybe make a capital gain, you sold something for more than what you paid for it, you're going to have to pay taxes on that. Now, that's very different for what the IRS calls tax-qualified accounts. Most people just call them retirement accounts. But there are educational savings accounts. There are medical savings accounts. There are health savings accounts. And all of these have some benefit from a tax standpoint. Why? Because the IRS blesses and kisses these things. That's why they call them tax-qualified accounts. You don't pay taxes every year until you take it out. For most of them, those are called pre-tax or sometimes before-tax. A few of them are post-tax, which means you have already paid the tax on them. When you go to take the money out, it's all tax-free. That's the Roth IRA. That's why I keep jumping up and down screaming why a Roth IRA is so cool. But notice, there are strict limitations on the contributions. You see, do you see any of these exotic things that don't make any sense, right? Options, futures, shorting. No. You can't do that in a tax-qualified account. The IRS didn't set it up. It's the Congress that sets it up. The IRS enforces it. But these guys are meant to be used for long term. Your child just got born, educational savings account, medical health savings account for your health, and then the most popular being the retirement accounts, the 401ks, the 403bs. So there are strict limitations on contributions. In fact, we asked you back in Chapter 3, do you remember the contribution limits? Don't worry, we're going to come back to them. There are strict limitations on the investment types. Stocks are risky enough, folks. You don't want to be playing with fire with options, futures, shorting, margin. And then you get that tax benefit. Either they're pre-tax, in which case you don't pay the taxes until you take them out, usually in retirement when you're in a lower tax bracket, or post-tax where you don't pay ever any taxes if you do what they say you're supposed to do. Although there are many subtle and not so subtle differences, the major differences are how they are taxed by the IRS, how much money you can contribute, and what you can have in the account. And then there's a presentation that I want you to take a look at that looks at two different accounts. One that has a Roth IRA where the person's putting money in, and then when they go to take it out, typically in retirement, you have to wait until 59 and a half, but there are some exceptions. You don't pay any taxes. And then there's another one that has a Roth IRA and a regular taxable account, a non-qualified account, as the IRS calls it. So remember, the bucket, the bolsa, is just the vehicle that we use to put our investments in. And I apologize if the graphs don't really, the pictures don't really demonstrate that well. Okay, so now go back over, make sure you understand everything in this presentation, because we're going to build on it. In our next presentation, we're going to take a look at the overview of the investment universe. We're going to discuss the major investment alternatives, look at the risks, look at the possible returns, and then do our best to dissuade you from using most of them. Unless you take Business 123, Introduction to Investments, and really, really find this interesting and are willing to put in the time and money, and not so much money, but I mean, you got to put the money in anyway for the investment, but the time and the effort and the hard work, it's actually fun for a lot of people. Other people just would rather eat barbed wire, you know. And that's why we're going to find that there is an investment alternative that makes life so much easier for us, and you're probably going to use it because it's in your 401k. Okay, so we'll see you in the next presentation. I hope you're excited. I know I am, where we take a look at the overview of the investment universe.